Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is so great to have you with us today.
Absolutely. Really glad to be here.
So today we are wading into a space that is absolutely flooded with hype, buzzwords, and frankly, a lot of very expensive mistakes.
Oh, massive mistakes.
Yeah. We are talking about navigating the chaotic world of industrial IoT, the Internet of Things, specifically focusing on platforms for manufacturing.
Right.
And to guide us, we have this stack of brutally honest, no-nonsense playbooks, checklists, and industry teardowns. These are written for plant managers who are just exhausted by the endless tech jargon.
Yeah, they're tired of the fluff.
Exactly. So the mission of this deep dive is simple. We want to help you cut through the innovation theater of vendor demos and give you the ultimate roadmap to choosing a platform that actually works on a gritty, real-world factory floor. We want to save you from a disastrous investment.
It is such a critical subject to tackle right now. Choosing an IoT platform is no longer just this, nice to have IT project to make a factory look modern. It has become a literal business survival decision.
100%.
And what's fascinating here is the perfect storm currently squeezing manufacturers, particularly when you look at the European market and manufacturing hubs like Germany.
Right, the pressures are just compounding.
Exactly. There is this confluence of massive pressures hitting all at once. You have skyrocketing energy costs forcing factories to aggressively rethink every single kilowatt hour they use. On top of that, there's a projected shortage of 2 million skilled industrial workers in Germany alone by 2035.
2 million. That is just staggering.
It is. And then you add in the strict compliance demands of GDPR and the incoming EU Green Deal.
So whether you are managing a shop floor directly, navigating enterprise IT, or you're just really curious about how global manufacturing is surviving the digital age behind the scenes, this deep dive is going to completely change how you view factory technology.
Without a doubt.
Okay, let's unpack this by starting with a major truth bomb from the sources. Most IoT platforms look absolutely incredible in a demo.
Oh, they look beautiful.
Right. But then they completely fall apart the moment they meet a 20-year-old machine on the actual shop floor.
It happens every single day. I mean, you have vendors selling a beautifully designed PowerPoint slide rather than addressing the actual gritty problems of a production line.
Right.
The software is often built for this idealized environment that simply doesn't exist in most manufacturing plants.
I could just picture it. You have these shiny, cloud-driven, AI-infused platforms. They have these spectacular dark mode themes, spinning 3D digital twins, and they look flawless when you're sitting in a climate-controlled boardroom.
Oh, absolutely.
But the second you take that software down to the floor, where it smells like oil and metal shavings, and it hits the reality of a factory that's basically running on Industry 2.5.
It instantly becomes a multi-million dollar paperweight.
Exactly. A paperweight.
Which is why the first major takeaway here is to start with problems, not platforms. That's rule number one in the playbooks. If a plant manager walks into a meeting asking, "What is the best IoT platform on the market?" they have already lost.
They're asking the wrong question entirely.
Yes. The question has to be, "What are our specific bottlenecks?"
But wait, if I'm investing heavily in digital transformation, shouldn't I want a comprehensive platform that can just do everything? Like, why limit the scope right out of the gate?
Because trying to boil the ocean is a guaranteed path to failure in industrial tech. Without clear, tightly defined problems, every single platform looks magical. They all claim to optimize everything.
Read the classic "We Do It All" pitch.
Exactly. But if a platform cannot easily handle your top three specific use cases, you have to walk away. And those use cases need to tie directly to a hard business metric.
So we're talking about fixing severe OEE leakage, meaning your overall equipment effectiveness is dropping because of untracked microstops on the line.
Yes, or perhaps you need to reduce peak energy loads to avoid massive utility penalties. If the tech doesn't solve those exact issues, it is useless.
And that real-world friction flows right into the next major hurdle, which is rule number two, the hardware itself. The playbooks point out that legacy machines must not be a deal breaker, because real-world factories are essentially working museums.
That is the perfect way to describe it.
You can walk a production floor and see a brand new, state-of-the-art robotic arm sitting right next to a CNC milling machine from 1998.
Oh, easily.
And that older machine is likely running off PLCs, those programmable logic controllers from Siemens or Fanuc, that were literally installed during the Clinton administration.
That is the defining reality of the shop floor. It's an environment of extreme machine heterogeneity. So a viable IoT platform has to handle this legacy equipment.
You can't just talk to the shiny new stuff.
Right. It needs to offer low-intrusion data collection, non-invasive retrofit sensors, and edge gateways that bridge the old with the new. And it has to translate an absolute alphabet soup of mixed protocols.
You mean things like native support for OPC UA, Modbus, MQTT, serial cables, Profinet, and CAN bus?
Exactly. If the new software can't speak the language of those 25-year-old machines, the project is dead on arrival.
And there is a massive red flag for you to watch out for here. The sources are very clear on this. If you are sitting with a software salesperson and they ever utter the phrase, "Well, you'll just need to upgrade your machines to work with our cloud."
Oh, that is your immediate cue to end the call.
Run away.
You'd go bankrupt before you manufactured your first widget. Upgrading a heavy industrial machine just to get Wi-Fi compatibility can cost millions.
Which brings up the critical issue of infrastructure. The playbooks call this rule number 3. Edge computing matters far more than you think. They actually refer to the alternative as the Wi-Fi pipe dream.
Yes, the Wi-Fi pipe dream. Because a lot of people coming from the corporate software world assume you can just hook everything up to a standard office router and stream terabytes of sensor data straight to the cloud.
I have to ask, though, with all the push for centralized cloud infrastructure over the last decade, why is edge computing suddenly the hero here? Shouldn't a modern factory network be able to handle streaming data to a cloud server?
It's a matter of physics and risk. Mm-hmm. If we connect this to the bigger picture, think about what happens when the internet inevitably blips or a corporate firewall suddenly updates and blocks traffic.
Okay, sure.
In an office, a 3-second delay means a web page loads slightly slower. Mm. Big deal. But in a factory, a 3-second latency might mean a robotic welding arm destroys a product or, worse, creates a severe safety hazard.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the safety aspect of latency.
It's critical. Factories need sub-second response times. They need local alarms. They absolutely require offline capability and local data buffering.
So if every single decision, alert, and automation relies on a constant connection to a remote cloud server, a localized internet outage means your entire production line halts.
Precisely. Processing the data locally, right there on the factory floor at the edge of the network, mitigates that risk. It is a non-negotiable architectural requirement.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because once you actually pull that data from the legacy machines and process it at the edge, what do you actually do with it? That brings us to rule number 4. Dashboards are nice, but insights are better.
Yes!
There's this brilliant analogy from the research. They note that if a platform only visualizes data but can't actually interpret it, you haven't bought an IoT platform, you've just bought a telescope.
That's entirely accurate. It is incredibly easy to fall for fancy line charts. Everyone loves looking at screens filled with pretty green circles, yellow warning triangles, and red squares.
I feel like you're doing something.
Exactly, but dashboards alone do not fix broken machines. What a factory actually needs is intelligence.
Because if you just have dashboards, you run into the problem of alert fatigue. If the screen is constantly flashing red every time a temperature fluctuates by a tenth of a degree, the maintenance team is just going to start ignoring the monitor.
That's the exact danger. Real intelligence looks like actionable alerts. It looks like role-based views. The system must be smart enough to understand the context of the user.
Right, distinguishing between what different people need to see.
Exactly. A plant manager needs high-level efficiency metrics across multiple lines, but a floor operator needs highly specific, immediate data about the exact machine standing in front of them. A good system detects a trend and offers a root cause suggestion rather than just raw data.
Otherwise, you fall into the space shuttle trap.
Yes.
This is where you end up buying this massive, overwhelmingly complex enterprise platform just to monitor the temperature of a simple air compressor. It is total overkill.
It's ridiculous.
And speaking of overkill, that ties directly into the massive hype cycle surrounding artificial intelligence. We hear constantly about AI revolutionizing the floor. But rule number 5 here is that AI should help humans, not replace them.
The amount of vendor fluff around AI right now is staggering. You have marketing materials promising fully autonomous self-healing factories.
Self-healing factories.
If a vendor pitches you a self-healing factory, show them the door. Manufacturers don't need science fiction. They need practical AI.
So what does that actually look like in practice? Instead of just being a generic tech talking point.
Instead of a generic AI will run the factory pitch, practical industrial AI looks like anomaly detection. It's a system that notices a microscopic vibration anomaly in a single spindle motor.
Okay.
And instead of just flashing a red light, it automatically generates a maintenance ticket, checks the inventory for the exact replacement part, and schedules the repair for the next shift change before that motor ever actually fails.
That is amazing.
That is explainable, practical, predictive maintenance. It solves a real problem without spamming the team or trying to replace the human mechanic.
AI that solves real problems, not AI that just wins UI design awards.
Exactly.
Let's pivot slightly from the physical tech on the floor to the business and security side of things. Rule number 6 is blunt. Security is not optional, and it's not a premium add-on.
No, industrial cyber attacks are a massive existential survival threat.
This raises an important question about what actual security looks like in an industrial context. The stakes are much higher than a compromised email account, right? Because a hacked PLC can cause physical destruction.
The baseline non-negotiables are very clear here. It requires a zero trust architecture.
For those who might not be deep into cybersecurity, what does zero trust actually mean when we're talking about a manufacturing plant?
It simply means the system trusts no one and nothing by default, even if that device or user is already physically inside the factory's internal network. Every single data request is verified.
Oh, I see.
You also need role-based access, fully encrypted device communication, strict data isolation, and full audit logs. Furthermore, a platform must offer on-premise or hybrid deployment options.
Because many defense or highly regulated manufacturers legally cannot send certain production data to a public cloud.
Exactly. There is a great practical test for this. If a vendor cannot explain their security model, their data sovereignty policies, or their firewall-friendly architecture in 3 minutes, they don't actually have one.
That is a fantastic litmus test for you to use in your next vendor meeting.
Mm.
And while we're talking about vendor meetings, we need to dive into rule number 8, the pricing traps. The industry playbooks describe these traps as an enterprise tax that essentially punishes a manufacturer for succeeding and scaling.
This is where pilot projects go to die.
Really?
Yes. During a small test phase, the costs look reasonable.
Mm.
But once you try to roll the platform out across the entire factory, the hidden fees destroy your return on investment.
What kind of hidden fees should a plant manager be looking for?
You have to watch out for vendors charging you per message sent. Imagine a vibration sensor that sends a data packet every millisecond. A per-message pricing model will bankrupt you in a week.
Every millisecond. Yeah, that would be astronomically expensive.
Other traps include charging per new sensor added, charging for every new dashboard you create, or even demanding an extra licensing fee just to access the basic API to export your own data.
Which leads right into rule number 7. Avoid vendor lock-in. Freedom has to be treated as a core feature of the platform. Your data belongs to you, not the software company.
Absolutely.
If your proprietary sensors or gateways only work with one specific platform, you are completely trapped. You need open standards, easily exportable data formats, and multi-cloud compatibility.
And that ties directly into rule number 9, which is deployability. Let's walk through a common yet disastrous deployment scenario.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's say a plant management team buys into a massive, heavyweight software suite. The vendor's consultants arrive. They inform the team that to get the system working, they need to completely rewrite the existing PLC logic on the legacy machine.
Oh, no.
Yes. They schedule 6 months of rolling factory downtime just to install the infrastructure. Half a year later, millions of dollars spent, and they finally have a single dashboard showing the efficiency of one production line.
That is a complete failure before it even starts. The goal is fast deployability. A good system should deploy in days or weeks, securely connecting to the machines as they currently operate without requiring shutdowns. Fast deployment equals fast ROI.
Exactly. So how do you actually enforce all these rules?
Right. So what does this all mean for the listener?
Well, the research provides a very structured 7-step selection framework to move from just shopping for a platform to actually scaling one across an enterprise.
And out of those 7 steps, the absolute most critical one for you to remember is the real factory pilot. You must never buy off the back of a demo. Demos are sanitized. They are designed to be perfect.
Instead, you insist on a pilot and you intentionally make it difficult.
Make them sweat a little bit.
Exactly. You choose the single most cranky, isolated legacy machine on your floor and you tell the vendor to connect to it. If their platform only works in their perfectly manicured sandbox, it is guaranteed to shatter when it hits your reality.
To really drive that home, the playbooks include a hall of shame. It's a collection of the most common truth bomb mistakes manufacturers make even after they've bought a decent platform. One of the absolute worst is what they call building a ghost ship.
The ghost ship scenario is purely a failure of change management. This happens when corporate management buys a beautiful system, deploys it, but completely ignores the reality of the floor operators.
Right, the people actually doing the work.
Yes. These are people who might have grease on their hands, wearing thick safety gloves, trying to interact with a tablet. If the user interface is clunky or if the system creates more administrative work than it saves, the operators simply won't use it.
They would just go back to paper and clipboards.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how advanced the code is. If the team doesn't adopt it, the platform is dead.
It's a great reminder to budget for training and actually listen to the people turning the wrenches. Another major mistake from the Hall of Shame is ownership limbo. This happens when there is a massive culture clash between IT and OT, information technology and operational technology.
That clash is profound. IT departments are focused on security, standardization, and regular software updates.
Naturally.
But OT, the people running the production line, are focused on one thing. 100% uptime. They don't want anything touching the machines that might cause a stoppage.
So when a new IoT platform arrives, IT, OT, and production all sort of own it.
Mm.
And as the old rule goes, if everyone sort of owns a project, then absolutely no one actually owns it. It creates total organizational paralysis.
The ultimate lesson from these mistakes is that industrial IoT is fundamentally about making decisions, not just hoarding data. A lot of companies fall into the trap of aggressively collecting terabytes of sensor data just for the sake of having it, assuming it will magically generate value later.
But all that does is build a digital landfill. You pay for the storage, but you get no insights that drive action.
A digital landfill is the perfect way to describe it. You need targeted data that informs the decision today, not a vast archive of useless temperature readings from 3 years ago.
All right, as we look to wrap this up, we need to talk about future-proofing.
Yeah.
What is coming down the pipeline, especially given the massive regulatory shifts in the European market, that manufacturers absolutely must prepare for right now?
There are incoming mandatory requirements that go far beyond just being cool tech trends. They are becoming the cost of doing business. First is standardization, specifically the Asset Administration Shell, or AAES. Think of AAES as a universal digital USB standard for industrial assets. It is rapidly becoming the backbone of European interoperability. If the platform you buy today fights against this standard, you are essentially purchasing a legacy system out of the box.
Because the whole point of AS is to ensure that a motor from one manufacturer can seamlessly share its technical specifications and lifecycle data with a software platform built by a completely different company, right?
Exactly. It breaks down the proprietary silos. Next, you have to prepare for the evolution of digital twins. Historically, a digital twin was just a neat 3D virtual model of a machine you could spin around on a screen. That era is over. Digital twins are now becoming mandatory compliance tools.
Especially when we look at things like the EU Green Deal.
Yes. For EU Green Deal reporting, emissions tracking, and deep root cause analysis for product recalls, a dynamic digital replica of your production process will be essential. It provides undeniable, auditable digital proof of how a product was made, tracking everything from energy consumption to raw material sourcing.
And finally, edge dominance. The projection suggests that by 2028, 80% of all factory data will be processed at the edge. The sheer volume of data being generated by modern sensors, combined with the absolute need to dodge latency issues and manage massive cloud storage costs, makes edge computing the inevitable standard for the industry.
To summarize the overarching lesson from all of these playbooks, the technology must fit your factory, not the other way around. Every single workflow, every legacy machine, and every budget is unique. Do not be blinded by innovation theater or a slick sales pitch.
Right.
A truly great IoT platform is ultimately 50% technology and 50% people. If you ignore the human element, your operators, your change management processes, and your support ecosystems, even the most beautifully written software architecture will fail. Manufacturing success requires handholding, cultural buy-in, and gritty problem solving, not just software access.
So as we close out today's deep dive, I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought to mull over. It built on what we just discussed regarding the asset administration shell and digital twins acting as compliance tools for things like the EU Green Deal. If we are heading toward a future where every single physical action on a factory floor, every cut of metal, every weld, every localized energy spike, eventually requires a corresponding highly detailed digital twin just to prove regulatory compliance and circularity, will the actual physical manufacturing of a product eventually become secondary to the digital auditing of its creation? Will future factories essentially become massive software and data companies that just happen to output physical goods as a byproduct of their code? It really makes you wonder where the true core value of the manufacturing industry is heading in the next decade. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep questioning the hype, and we will catch you next time.